The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you today?
Fine, thanks.
Dr. Smith, nothing can be more crucial to community health and wellness than drinking water quality. And today we're very fortunate to have a guest who is, pardon the pun, immersed in the subject. And her name is Judy Hansen. Judy is superintendent of the City of Kingston Water Department. She's been there for 36 years, and her undergraduate and graduate studies were in biology, and she also holds an MBA and all the certifications from New York State, which I won't get into because they're complicated. And we're very, very fortunate to have her. Welcome, Judy. How are you?
Welcome. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Judy, let's start by giving our listeners, if you would, just an overview of how public water suppliers ensure that water is safe to drink, and what are some of the significant challenges in that regard?
Well, I think, you know, we're all about public health, as you are. We just focus on the drinking water quality. So I think the one thing I'd like to say is that I think now our drinking water supplies in the United States are safer than they've ever been, despite some headlines about a few minor missteps maybe along the way in some areas. I think part of the reason of our success is that we are, apart from the nuclear industry, very heavily regulated by the New York State Department of Health, EPA, and locally the health department exercises their control through the Ulster County Health Department. You have to be certified to work for a water utility. We have to test the water. Some things we test for continuously, some things on a less frequent basis, some things once a year. And the good news is that if we find anything, it has to be disclosed to the public, which we do on a routine, regular basis, at least once a year in our annual water quality statement. If there's any kind of a violation of any kind of a standard, it's certainly much more timely than once a year. And I think all in all, we're just in there trying to do the same thing that everyone else expects. Water supply is local. So those of us in the water treatment business, we live here. It's our water. Our families are drinking this water. We have a vested interest in doing the best job we can to make sure that it's drinkable and healthy and safe for everybody.
How often does water, I know you said the reporting happens once a year, but how often does the testing happen?
For some things, it's continuous. Mm-hmm. For other things, it might be weekly, might be daily. A couple things are a monthly test. Some things are annual. We report to the public once a year in our annual water quality statement, but we send a report to the Ulster County Health Department once a month, just our operating report.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of situations like Flint, Michigan, for instance, or maybe even what has happened in Newburgh or Hoosick Falls, where citizens might suspect that there is something not right with their drinking water, are there formal mechanisms in place for laypersons to engage the agencies and solicit their help?
Sure, just call us up. Mm-hmm. You can call the health department, Ulster County Health Department. If you're in Ulster County, you can call. If you're a consumer of the Kingston Water Department, give us a call. We'll sit down with people, explain results, answer questions. It's a pretty open process.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of in Flint, we've all heard bits and pieces of that story. Some of us are more well-versed than others. But maybe you can help us understand a little bit about what that was about without going into too much technical detail in terms of what lessons might have been learned from that situation.
Well, Flint was a tragedy and a failure on a lot of different levels. I think, you know, people are starting to point blame. There's a lot to go around. I think in general, what the public needs to know is lead is very rarely, if ever, in the public water supply. The source of lead comes when water sits in contact with plumbing materials that may contain lead service pipes, brass fixtures in their home, which have a high lead content generally. And the water has to be somewhat corrosive to dissolve the lead. And then when the water's sitting in contact with the lead pipe, for instance, it'll leach out, dissolve out, and that's where the customer will get lead in their drinking water. So to keep the lead out of your drinking water kind of takes a village. It takes the water utility to make sure that they're treating the water appropriately to minimize and mitigate that corrosiveness.
To make it less acidic, essentially?
To make it less corrosive.
Less corrosive, okay.
And then we have to test that on a routine basis to make sure that we are meeting that standard. Mm-hmm. And if not, then we have to take corrective action with our treatment. The homeowner, on their end, needs to, maybe see what their plumbing materials are. Do you have a lead service? You can start, especially in a place like Kingston.
What is a lead service? For those of us who may not know.
It's a pipe that's made out of lead. And lead was the material of choice to bring the water from the water main out in the street into your home from the late 1800s until about 1930. When you look at the housing stock in a place like Kingston, there's a lot of lead services out there. Probably 50% of all 8,000 of our services, I would guess, would be made out of lead.
Mm-hmm.
At least all or in part. So the first thing, if I were a homeowner, I would see if I could find out what my service material was. What was it made out of? There's a couple of ways you can do that. One, you can go in your basement or wherever the water comes in, and you can look, scratch it with a knife. If it scratches easily and shiny, it's probably lead. Hold a magnet to it. If it doesn't adhere, it's probably lead. If a magnet sticks to it, it's probably galvanized. If it's shiny and copper or green, then it's a copper service. You can kind of fact check that by calling your water utility, and we can give you the approximate date of the service. Can't tell you what the material is, but because that belongs to the customer. We can tell you when the tap was made. And so if your tap, and we have a few of them out there that made in 1884, 100% certain that's lead.
Yikes.
So there's a couple of ways you can do that. Now, if you have a lead service, that doesn't really necessarily mean you're going to have lead in your water. A couple things you can do. You can make sure that you flush it before you drink it. Water, for the lead to dissolve out, it's got to sit in contact 3 or 4 hours. Most of us, when the first time we get up in the morning, we don't run to the kitchen and take a drink. Might run the shower, flush a toilet, so you're flushing your plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
We come home from work or school, we do the same thing. So you just have to be conscious of that.
So let it run for how long, approximately?
A couple of minutes. So you can feel the temperature getting colder again, like it's coming from the street.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you can do is get your water tested. New York State Health Department has put away a pot of money that they're making lead testing available to any resident in New York State free of charge. You can find that information out. I know it's up on our website. I think the Ulster County Health Department will be putting it up on their website.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
But also, you can just Google New York State free lead testing, and you'll get all the information.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's certainly a definitive way to know if there's lead in your water. Just have it tested.
Is there a safe threshold of lead in water? I mean, is there a certain amount, or is it just...
I'm not the medical professional, but I don't think there's any safe level of lead for anybody, especially for children.
Mm-hmm. And what happens if you do find it? What happens next?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. Very first thing, the best thing you could do is to get rid of the lead material. Get it out. Not everybody can afford that, and not everybody is in an...
Maybe replace the pipe.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody either can afford that, or maybe you don't even own the home, and so your landlord isn't willing to do that. So there's some constraints there. The other thing you can do is make sure you flush. And I hate to recommend this, but there are filters that are available to remove lead. And as long as you are careful in maintaining the filter according to the manufacturer's instructions, that can also help mitigate the problem.
And are we talking about countertop, like carbon activated filters or whole house filters?
I believe you can do both, but I think for most of us drink the water from the kitchen, so you would be, giving yourself a fair degree of protection if you put a filter on your kitchen faucet.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to make sure it's capable of removing lead, and you have to make sure you follow the manufacturer's directions, because sometimes filters can exacerbate the problem. If they get clogged and full, they'll start bleeding more lead off than you would have had originally. So you have to be very cautious.
Now, what about lead solder in the internal plumbing of a house? Does that leach into the
it can.
Into the water?
Not usually. We haven't been able to use that kind of solder since about 1986. But it is possible that it can in smaller amounts, and usually that stops after a time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And generally, in Kingston, are residents pretty... Do they express concern, or do you get a lot of questions on the subject from folks out
Surprisingly,
there?
Surprisingly, no, we don't. Hmm. No, we don't.
But knowing, you know, as Judy said, that we at the health department oversee the monthly reports for all of the water operators across the county, and certainly Kingston's always had an excellent record of having excellent water quality. So we're very fortunate in that for sure. But that's not without putting the work and the effort and doing due diligence, which the water department certainly does. So it's much to their credit.
Mm-hmm. And the homeowner needs to take some of that responsibility. If they in particular have a lead service, they need to be conscious and do whatever they can to mitigate the impact.
So in other words, just if you're a homeowner, don't wait for to be notified or
right.
be made aware. Be proactive about it, and you know that way ensuring your family's health and well-being.
Exactly. Well, if you have a home that's built certainly in the era where they use that kind of lead pipe, mm-hmm. new construction, et cetera, that really wouldn't be an issue. But,
right.
you know, for the older, more, you know, the homes that have been around for you know, decades, yes.
We have a parallel issue, as you know, Dr. Smith, with lead-based paints that were
yes.
used prior to 1978.
Which really is the greater source of lead poisoning is from the paint in
right.
these homes, not the water.
Right.
I think EPA estimates that somebody's health exposure to lead, probably a minimum of 10, maximum of 20, could come from the water. The rest is almost certainly lead-based paint.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, we'd like to learn a lot more about this and some of the other issues surrounding water quality, but first we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
When it comes to surgery, you always want to be in the best surgical hands. Now, thanks to WMC Health Physicians at Lake Katrine, a member of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, it's easy to find an expert surgeon close to home, featuring 8 highly respected doctors in 6 unique areas of practice. WMC Health Physicians at Lake Katrine is the latest way we're advancing care here in the Hudson Valley. The surgeons at WMC Health Physicians are leaders in the fields of breast surgery, general surgery, neurosurgery, surgical oncology, thoracic surgery, and vascular surgery, all equipped with the latest technology and approaches for the best possible care. And because they're part of WMC Health, your surgery can be performed at a location most convenient for you. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie or Health Alliance Hospitals in Kingston. Another way, we're advancing care here. For more information, visit wmchealth.org/Lake Katrine.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest this morning is Judith Hansen, who is the superintendent of the Kingston Water Department. Judy, before the break, we were talking about lead and lead issues. And another issue that comes to the public's attention very often is Legionnaire's disease, the Legionella bacteria. And we know that over the past year or two, there have been a number of very important cases down in New York City, especially where a number of individuals have died from Legionella, and they were linking it to water towers down in the city. And of course, in Kingston, we don't really have the issue with water towers. But can you talk a little bit about Legionnaires and Legionella in water, and how is it that the that particular kind of bacteria gets into our water supplies?
Well, Legionella is found in water and soils.
Yes.
So, and a lot of people are probably surprised when I say that water treatment doesn't sterilize your water. The goal of water treatment, one of the goals, is to control enteric pathogens, fecal bacteria, fecal salmonella, campylobacter, viruses, giardia,
E. coli.
So, you know, kind of the things we associate it with our gut organisms and those kinds of diseases and disorders. We do a really good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you will find Legionella in very low numbers in your water supply. And if you drink it, nothing bad happens.
Right.
For a couple of reasons, I think. One is that my understanding is the infective dose to get Legionnaires' disease or even Pontiac fever is more significant than one or two little bacteria floating in the water. The other thing is it has to be inhaled.
Right.
So those are conditions you don't normally find coming out of your distribution system. Where I think the problem comes in some of our premise plumbing, some of our facilities, we give these bacteria a great place to live and just reproduce and kind of reach that critical mass where they can make people sick, either from aerosolized bacteria in water droplets or some other mechanism where we inhale it and breathe it in. Those conditions, as I understand it, are you have to have, you know, slow kind of dead ends. Every building is a dead end. I mean, the water comes in.
And water storage tanks, like
water storage tanks,
New York City, right. And air conditioning units.
There's an awful lot of the surface to volume ratio in a building. You have very tiny, narrow, half inch, three quarter inch pipes. And so there's a lot of places for this nice biofilm to develop. The water's very slow moving, or there's some dead ends. And then in hot water systems, these guys love water temperatures between 77 and 140. So if your water's not, and a lot of times we try to, because we don't want to scald the elderly patients or some of our other people that are in these facilities, human nature keeps those temperatures, our hot water temperatures, down. And you find that's a great place for these things to occur. And I think the CDC and World Health Organization have determined that it's 100% preventable if we become vigilant and manage our buildings properly.
So. Judy, let's move for a moment to, if you would, to the more complicated issue of contaminants that come into, say, a watershed that feed into a main water supply, or such as we've had in Hoosick Falls with PFOAs or dioxanes. And I know right in High Falls, when I was a town supervisor there, there was some serious contamination of the entire aquifer, which no one knew about until a resident had her water tested, and not just for bacteriological contamination, but for the full array of contaminants, and found some serious carcinogens that were put into the aquifer from a machine shop that was operating, a pretty small one, but ended up contaminating the aquifer. And of course, that's not a public water supply, but some of those issues are parallel to the challenges that you folks are facing, not in Kingston, but just in the industry. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The way we approach water treatment is it's kind of like that three-legged stool. So the best approach is prevention. So you try to protect your source and keep these contaminants from getting in. Then we have, you know, some robust treatment systems where then if they do get in, we can take them out in the treatment process. And then hopefully we have a rigorous cross-connection control program so that we can't have any, you know, contaminants being back-siphoned in once we're in our distribution system. The problem with those kind of unregulated emerging contaminants is they're legacy contaminants. They're the result of, I don't want to say poor zoning or land management, but in some cases it happened years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now our ability to detect these things has really outpaced our ability to know what the health effects is of these things necessarily, mm-hmm. and the policy on how to regulate and control them. So in the PFOA incident in Hoosick Falls, and then now in Newburgh, and I think Petersboro and a couple of other places, I don't think there was no illegal dumping. I think it was a result of some manufacturing, and the response was they're not regulated. So as a water supplier, what levels do we take them out at? What's the health effects? And,
right.
and I think we're playing catch up. I think those we found those things. Now what do we do about them?
Right.
And I think it's a tough problem because the water supplier is looking for guidance from EPA and state health, and that guidance isn't always there in a timely, sometimes they're playing catch up too.
Right.
And I think that's what happened in those cases.
And then a lot of times too, it comes as a bit of surprise. For instance, as I just described in High Falls, where mm-hmm. a resident just happened to get her water tested with the full spectrum of testing. And it was literally this little tiny machine shop that was making plating for refrigeration units and then cleaning the plates with degreasing solvents, which then right. ended up in the aquifer. And literally contaminated the whole aquifer. It turned out to be a $22 million Superfund project where the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers had to build a plant. But fortunately, there was the New York City Aqueduct.
For a source.
That was a source that was running right through the community that could be hooked into. Otherwise, it would have been just an engineering nightmare and yeah. so cost prohibitive. So, So what do communities do? I mean, I know that's a complicated question, but how can, if you're, say, a community official or even a resident is concerned, like you're maybe in a community or moving to a community, what kind of questions do you ask?
Well, I think, you know, it takes a partnership. I think people need to get involved and informed and you know, kind of pay attention to the science. But also, I think when about 20 years ago when the Safe Drinking Water Act was reauthorized, Congress did a very smart thing. They had all 5,000 or so water systems in the country that serve a population greater than 3,300. Every 5 years, we have to look for 30 of these things.
Oh, you do?
Oh, absolutely.
That's interesting.
And we're on our fourth round. And PFOAs were in the third round. We just finished those. Kingston doesn't have any PFOAs, but that's how Newburgh found theirs. We're similarly sized, and we had to do those. Hoosick Falls, on the other hand, was an incident just like you described, a homeowner finding it, because that's a community smaller than 3,300, and they weren't required to look for it. And one of the reasons for looking for these are all contaminants that have been identified. Maybe there's some health implications, but do they occur in drinking water? So we've been looking for these things in groups of 30 for every 5 years. And the idea was then once you found the occurrence and the levels at which they occurred, then the policymakers at CDC and EPA would develop regulations. Mm-hmm. That's the piece that hasn't happened.
Right. And then it's also hard to know where it came from, because one of the things that
yes.
we learned in High Falls, we hired hydrogeologists from Yale and Princeton, who informed us that basically in terms of groundwater contamination can come from hundreds of miles away. It's not just
and
in
take
a
years.
5 months. And you take years.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's really, it's knowing where it came from, what it is, how to deal with it once you find it, if you find it.
Right.
Which can get pretty complicated.
But one of the bright spots, I guess, is in this round of budget negotiations and as a result of what happened in Hoosick Falls and in Newburgh, I think the New York State Legislature and the governor together formed a drinking water water quality council. And they met yesterday for the first time. And one of their priorities, from what I understand from talking to folks that were there and what other people that witnessed those deliberations that occurred yesterday, that 1,4-dioxane and some of the PFOAs and PFOS will be regulated in New York State, if not the nation, but certainly in New York State within a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've reached that critical mass and that determination where that's going to happen.
And I believe the governor also gave a fair amount of money to SUNY Stony Brook
yes,
to start
do.
Developing the systems that would be able to take some of these substances out of the water supplies, too.
One of the challenges with 1,4-dioxane, which is a problem on Long Island because of the sole source aquifer, is that there's no approved treatment to remove it.
Hmm.
So you can do, and that's from a manufacturing plume from I believe
right.
it's from Grumman.
Well, that's what happened in High Falls. They,
right.
they put double carbon activated filters on the homes, but that didn't do it. So they had to actually hook into the New York City mm-hmm. aquifer, which is running through town, and then connect a filtration plant to that. But one thing, you know, I learned there, and one thing we know for sure is that communities can do without a whole lot of things. One thing that they can't do without
water
is quality drinking water,
absolutely.
Quality water, because if you lose your water, you're pretty much done for. That's why we're so fortunate to have, you know, folks of Judy's caliber and her
absolutely.
Team ensuring that the water here in Kingston is safe and clean and as pure as it can be.
And it tastes wonderful, too.
It tastes great wonderful,
water.
Too.
Taste quality.
That's the foresight of the people that founded us, you know, over 100 years ago, 120-some years ago. They went up and they found a good source of water, and we've been the beneficiaries of that good foresight for many years now.
And certainly all the work that's done by DC and the watershed as well, ensuring quality water. You know, we have some of the best water in the country, and that's not by accident.
Exactly.
We're running out of time, unfortunately. We'd like to talk more about the subject. That's all the time we have for now. Thank you, Judy,
thank you so much, Judy, for the
wonderful work
you do.
You're most welcome, and thank you for having me.
And tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and your community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.